meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight, we're going to continue on with our investigation into polygamy. And last week, if you tuned into the show and if you didn't have a chance, go to scaredmonkeysradio.com and there you'll be able to listen to a podcast. We talked to a couple of authors about polygamy. Tonight, we're going to talk to two gals who actually lived it. Now, I've read a definition or a description of the Latter-day Church of Christ as an abusive religious cult practicing incest as a religious rite, and I think that pretty much nails it. Brenda, and that's all you'll know her as, is my first guest. She was born in Canada and then was taken to Colorado City, and we talked about Colorado City, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about it tonight too, where she spent 5 years. She is a director of the Hope Organization, but we're not going to identify her any further than that. Brenda, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You know, when we talk about polygamy, most recently with the Texas raid, and of course Warren Jeffs before that, but I think the mainstream media has done a poor job when it comes to reporting this epidemic, and those are my words, of polygamy, of this cult, of the things that are going on. And I think it's high time now that with an election going on, where there are state representatives and provincial representatives in Canada and the United States that are out there that are trying to get elected again and to finally do something, to quit talking out of both sides of their mouth and start doing something, because polygamy has always been illegal. Well, not always, but is currently illegal. But helping the people who are victims of it should be first and foremost. Your thoughts?
I agree with you that the victims desperately need the help, and they are entering, if they choose to enter our mainstream society, they are not equipped to deal with the everyday life of mainstream society, emotionally or intellectually. They're not taught that mainstream society is a functioning, well-meaning society. They're taught that the mainstream society is the enemy. The police are the enemy. You are the enemy. So they come already with their guard up. And then we were taught that, you know, if we associated with mainstream society, that all they were going to do were influence us to the negative and steal our children away.
When I describe the Latter-day Church of Christ as an abusive religious cult, and I'm taking that from another website, but I think it's an accurate description. Is that an accurate description?
I feel like it is. I feel like it is not a religion. I feel strongly that it is a cult. A religion is a thing that has choice. This is a cult. You do not have choice.
Let's talk about you. You grew up in Canada?
Yes.
And whereabouts?
In Lister, B.C. I was born in Cranbrook and then was raised until 14 in Lister.
And then what's... tell us the circumstances that took you to Colorado City.
The brethren at that time, the leaders of the church, decided that my dad should move down to Colorado City, and their story was that the boys would go on a work mission, we would have a better school, a better education, and dad could help build the community and teach the men in, down in that community how to build, because they were living in adobe or tar sheds and huts.
Now,
they did not have, I mean, you know, a regular house.
Now, you're leaving Canada, and you're going into the United States, and you're of a certain age. We don't necessarily have to give that away. But did you understand at the time what was going on, that all of a sudden you were going from a lifestyle that you were used to, I suppose, to one that, you know, opens everyone's eyes?
You know, I knew that we were leaving. But I knew we were going into another community that was just like the one we left. I knew that we were not going into mainstream society. But again, we were taught to obey, to not question. So if the brethren decreed it, you better act on it, and you better do what you're asked to do. And that goes for any part of your life.
Your father, Brenda, had how many wives?
He had just two. They had, the three of them came to an understanding that they would include another wife in the family if all three of them could get along, not just out of an act because somebody decided to hand my dad another wife. If the other two mothers were not happy with it, then that wouldn't happen. My dad would refuse it. And quite a few women came. I remember when I was younger, and we still lived up here in Canada, a lot of women came and wanted to join the family. But they found out we were too poor and we had to work too hard. Looked good from the outside.
And again, that's a big part of this. When you see the news footage, in particular the recent Texas raid, and you see what appears to be the quaint lifestyle of the women in the certain garb and going and wanting to get their children back and crying, I think we call it crocodile tears, because you don't see them. You don't see the actual tears, the emotion. I'm going to use the term mind control here, and I think a lot of this has to do with that. Am I that far off?
I feel like, and also the women are at a disadvantage. I feel like, yes, there's a certain amount of motherly instinct that would come in, but they're also raised that these children don't belong to them, that these children belong to whoever the leader is. In that case, it would be Warren Jeff. So in his name, they have to go get them back.
Who was the leader when you were moving to Colorado City?
Leroy Johnson was the head, and then there was the council, and they were what we call the brethren.
Now, the brethren tells your dad that it's time to go to Colorado City, and you moved there. How old were you at the time?
When the first part of the family, it took about 3 years altogether to leave. Some of the other kids, the older kids of the first wife, went down earlier and went on work missions. And then Dad and the first wife moved down there, and that was in the next year, and Dad was building us a house down there. Mother's children stayed here, and then Mother went down, and I stayed with my sisters, older sisters, and we were the last to leave.
Your combined family of how many?
We had 16.
16.
We had a very small family.
Now, on average, you say that's small. What was an average-sized family in Colorado City?
Your average family is anywhere from 30 on up. Usually, depending on the amount of wives and how young they were married along the way, it would depend very much on the young age of the wives and how many that man was given. And how many wives a man got was how obedient he was to the priesthood.
Now, let's describe that. Obedience to the priesthood means what?
Absolute obedience to everything, no matter what it was. That means you make no independent choices. You do what they say. You work where they say. You give your daughters and your sons up when they say. You give them financial backing and emotional backing. You have no opinion for yourself, and it's a lot of brown nosing also.
Now, when you, again, as a young girl, was it in your mind that and we'll get into the marriage part of it here in a few minutes, but was it in your mind as a young girl that you would be given up for marriage eventually?
Yeah, it was one of the horrors that I lived with every day, especially after we got down to Colorado City, you know, to know that I was going to be assigned to one of those men, you know. You'd watch them, because I know several people that we'd go to church and he asked to step in a room, but they'd step back out and they were married.
And at what age, on average?
At that time, the average age was 17 to 19.
Now, we hear stories...
A lot younger and younger.
Yeah, we hear stories of a lot younger than that. And what made that happen? Although, you know, 17, 18 is too young also. But when you start talking about 13, 14, and a lot of these young kids that were seized in Texas in the raid were also pregnant at the time, too. Was there some sort of an understanding as far as marriage and then pregnancy?
Yes, you are supposed to have as many children to be raised up for the Lord, as many as you can. And it is your job, it is your duty to have as many children as the Lord will bless you with. And to deny that is a cardinal sin. For a woman to need to take a break and have her body recuperate. And it's or have spend some time with her children instead of being weighted down with the daily cares of a child every year or every 2 years. It's a well-known fact to us that know that it takes, after one birth, it takes 3 years for a woman's body to recuperate. So these poor women that are having a child every year to raise up a kingdom, their bodies are not prepared for that.
You used the term kingdom, Brenda. What do you mean by that?
The kingdom of God is going to be raised up by these, the children are going to be raised up to be part of the kingdom of God that these brethren and these holy men are supposed to be able to lift up when their destruction comes. And we who don't obey and live righteously according to the brethren and the leaders, we will be wiped out with all the Gentiles and the sinners. And so when that is also taught to us from the very day we were able to listen, that we have to obey or we will be wiped out, that we will be murdered in our beds by the hordes swooping down upon us, you know, and the only thing stopping that is the righteousness of the brethren and the protection of the brethren.
So
as a little kid, you can kind of get an imagination of maybe how horrifying and how terrorized we were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I was to use the term indoctrination, I don't think I'd be far off.
No. But it's just that huge unknown always out there that this is going to happen to you because you're bad. And no kid's that bad.
When you talk about polygamy today, and you see, and again, we talked about the lack of coverage, but when you hear about Warren Jeffs and Texas compounds and BC and Utah and Arizona and other places, and you know, I've seen the numbers of anywhere from 11,000 to 40,000 members, and the lack of some governments and some law enforcement agents. In fact, how do you go to get help in Colorado City when the Colorado City police are polygamists themselves?
Right. And they swore to uphold the law. And the thing about polygamy that's very annoying and the cults are they use whatever is convenient for them to use. Like the Texas compound, okay? For instance, the minute they wanted their children back, it says, you're infringing on our rights. Well, you know, I sat there and shook my head. Like, whose rights? What are you doing to uphold the rights? What are you doing to uphold the law? But the minute something makes you have to take accountability for what you're doing, you're saying we out in the public or the authorities are abusing your rights. You don't have rights because you are not a law-abiding citizen.
Isn't it amazing that in today's society, when you grow up, and even today, that this sort of stuff is happening? You know, we've heard of the, you know, the anti-tax groups, the gun runners, you know, that sort of thing. But this is almost akin, and I'll probably get into some trouble for saying this, but to the David Koresh's out there. We all remember Waco.
Waco was calm compared to what the atrocities that go on in these polygamous societies on a personal level, on a daily, every day, taking away the rights and the lives of people. They're there in shell, and they're there in breathing air, but they're not alive. They're not well. They're not happy. They're not doing what they were sent to do or want to do.
If I use the term robots, would that be accurate?
I would say so.
We're going to take a quick break. This is the Dana Pritzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. And we're going to be back in just a minute with Brenda, talking about her life in Colorado City and growing up in a polygamous household. We'll be right back here on the Dana Pritzer Show.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, your host, Dana Pritzer.
Okay, we're back. We continue on with Brenda. Again, Brenda was born in Canada, and then the brethren decided that she and her family should go to Colorado City, where she spent 5 years and lived in a polygamist lifestyle and was able to escape from there. And we're talking about polygamy, continuing on from last week's program. Now, Brenda, just before we took a break, we talked about atrocities. I brought up David Koresh in Waco, and you said that that's minor compared to what goes on. And again, it just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up to think that this stuff is happening 2008 today in North America. Let's get into these atrocities.
The parts of the atrocities that happen are the constant threat of bodily harm to yourself. Mm-hmm. if you cannot perform the way the brethren expect you to. There are some people, of course, who are spared these kinds of things. But when you're threatened with bodily harm, they still believe in blood atonement. And the atrocities of having no choice, no idea what is going to happen to you, what kind of a man you're going to be given to, and what he can do to you once you become his.
Let's back up a second, Brenda. You mentioned blood atonement. I know what that is, and I think most of my audience does, but some may not. And that's about as disgusting and as vile as you can get. But what is it?
A blood atonement is when you have sinned so grievously and grievously in the eyes of the Lord. And, of course, that's interpreted by a man, not by the Lord. And you're deemed unsalvageable and unsavable. The only way that you can be saved is by giving your life. And it's a little bit like a, let's say, just an Aztec sacrifice, okay? I don't know how they do it. Exactly, but I know that there have been several that have been sentenced to blood atonement.
And who makes that sentence? The leader or the brethren?
The brethren, the leaders and the brethren will decide those things. If you're not salvageable, if you've sinned so badly that there's nothing that can save you, there's nothing, the brethren cannot forgive you, then you have nothing left except to sacrifice your life.
You talked about the horror of being given up for marriage, children, all these sorts of things. Were you given up for marriage?
I was told that I would be given up for marriage. I was told that I was to marry one of the leaders, one of the brethren, and that I was going to be his wife number 13. And I went to my father at that time, and I said, "Dad, I will kill myself before I will marry him." I won't do it. You just have to understand, I won't do it. And my father said, of course you don't have to. Don't you know you have a choice? And I said, that's not what we're taught. You know, I knew then I had a choice because my dad just didn't said I did. And I just tucked myself right there in the house and stayed safe and stayed out of it. But most girls, their fathers and mothers would not stand for them if they made a choice like that.
How difficult was it on your father to tell you, and then to, were there consequences for him for you saying no?
We left shortly after that. Yes, my dad was ostracized. And our whole family were called apostates, and we left with nothing from Colorado City. And I mean nothing. We slept on the ground. We bathed in the ditch. We ate green apricots off the trees. We had nothing. And that is how they always say it. If you leave here, you leave with nothing. And they mean it. We left with nothing.
And when you go to, the Department of Child Family Services, the police, the FBI, whoever, did you and your family go ask for help?
No, we did not.
Were you so afraid of retribution that, you know, you slept every night with both eyes open?
We were, for a long time, we did watch everything. Yes, we did. We had... But, you know, you just, and then sometimes you just have to feel like you've made the right choice and try to get through it. I looked at the grief and the sorrow of my friends and the horrible lives my sisters and brothers were asked to live when they have assigned marriages, and I was just very grateful. Very grateful.
Last week,
I think that's why my father made such a decree that his other two daughters were assigned marriages, and they were horrific.
Have you stayed in contact with your sisters?
I am with my sister here in British Columbia as we speak, and she's wonderful. I don't see my other sister very much, but the others are younger than I am, so I stay in contact with the ones that are younger a lot more than I do with the older ones. But I have a sister still in Colorado City, so I hardly ever see her.
Would you feel safe yourself going back to Colorado City today?
I would, because the spotlight is so on Colorado City.
Right.
It is so, I would feel safe there, going through there, because my family knows where I'm going. The spotlight is on there. Asking them, why do you do what you do? And why have we let you get away with it for so long?
If you're just tuning in, Brenda is a victim of polygamy. She was born in Canada and then taken to Colorado City, where she spent 5 years. And she's involved with the organization called the Hope Organization. And you can see a link to it on our webpage. There's a national media figure. I'm not going to mention her name. I'll go only that far. Who was commenting about, I'm not sure, Brenda, if you heard about it, a high school in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Where there's a group of young girls who decided to have a pact to all get pregnant at the same time and raise their children together. This commentator on national television, who I think does very good work most of the time, made a huge strategical blunder when she commented, well, what difference is it these girls going out and getting themselves pregnant because they want to see what it's like to have a child, compared to the children that were taken from the Texas compound in polygamy. If I could have reached through the television and gave her a shoulder a smack saying, please wake up, there's no comparison between the two. Is that just an ignorance on this television commentator, or is it a lot of people just, that's what they think?
That I'm sorry to say that it is, that's what they think. But I got, if I could stress one point, those girls made a choice.
Exactly.
to get pregnant. They did it on a lark. They did it for the wrong reasons. Okay, but whatever reason they did it, I bet you they didn't do it with a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you that they weren't forced to do it. No matter, they made that choice to have a child. There is universal difference, and you can't. You don't even go in the same galaxy as the difference of those choices and that lack of choice. When your husband is abusive and uses you up, and you are a virgin, you have never had sex, you've never had heavy petting, you've never had introductions to this area of your body and your mind, and a total strange man can do anything he wants to you and with you, because another man took you in a room and says, you guys are married, go. And that isn't romance, that isn't love, that isn't fun. That's out and out rape.
That's statutory rape, I agree
and
with you.
And it is not just rape of the body, it's rape of the mind, it's rape of your life, your well-being, in every area of your life. You are a victim.
Absolutely, well said. We're going to take another quick break here on Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back with Brenda, and we'll talk more about polygamy. We'll be right back.
And now, more of the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Here's Dana.
Okay, we're continuing on with our investigation into polygamy, and our first guest this evening is Brenda. Of course, she was born in Canada and then taken to Colorado City, Utah, when the Brethren decided that that's what should be done. She spent 5 years there, and we're to the point now where you and your family escaped, not all of your family, but some of you, and you're living in squalor, I guess, is a fair term. What happened from there?
We, the younger children, from my age on down, my family, the children left with mom and dad. What happened is my mother went back to school and got her teaching degree, and we started building houses, a house to live in, and found some property that was for sale, and they were willing to work with our family and let us pay it off, you know, and as we could. And that was done within a couple of years, because that's just how low to the ground we lived. We picked fruit, we did whatever we could to bring money in, and the kids went on and got schooling, the children did. And mom was in school full-time, and then she has a full-time job once she graduated, because she was a school teacher prior to us leaving. But because she was apostate, you know, because we were apostates, then she was fired from the Colorado City School District, because they didn't like how dad was acting.
Right.
In other words, he just, you know, he wasn't backing them, giving them free reign of his family, and he'd already sacrificed too many children to him, to that community, and too many things. And it was heartbreaking for my parents. And then when we came out, then it was just nose to the grindstone to find a place to live, find jobs, finish our education, and then a lot of the children, then the parents wanted to stay close to Colorado City so that some of the other children that were still married out in that area, they could come out and find them if they chose to leave, which most of them did.
When recently I watched the documentary called Banking on Heaven.
Right.
And if that piece of film that was a couple hours long, I believe, doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, I don't know what would. And when I see this Rulon, if I'm saying that right, Timpson Jeffs, and then Warren Jeffs, thank God he's in jail right now, but I understand he's running things just as well from jail as he was when he was out. But when I see that old man, 90 years old, and it's a very famous picture with his two young brides, it just makes you want to be physically ill. And that's someone who was never involved in it, knew little about it, and makes you wonder, why are the politicians not doing more? This is an epidemic, and it's about darn time they did something.
Because it isn't their little girls that are 14-year-olds sitting with that man.
Yeah.
And it isn't their children that the and they have. There's very smooth talking people. These aren't illiterate people. This isn't a community of dumb people. There are some that are uneducated, but they have. There are others that are invested a lot of time in universities, and a lot of time is spent out there in the lobbying for Colorado City. As a town that size, if you could ever go down there, the amount of money that sunk into the town, just in welfare alone, is up to $9 million.
Welfare, crime, incest, you name it. But there's also a big problem with birth defects. And
that is because they have no new blood, and there's not new people coming in
exactly.
And wanting to be victims. You don't. You have a couple of older generation that say, this is what I chose, I wanted this life. Good. That's a choice. You know, they're jumping up and down saying, this is right, this is our religion. No, ma'am, it is not. You're letting children marry your husband. And these are babies. These are just little girls with no hope of becoming anything else.
Again, the definition of a religious cult practicing incest as a religious rite. Brenda, do you see some organizations, some governments, some law enforcement, whatever, afraid of stepping on that so-called religious right? We're a society today in North America and around the world where we're so afraid of litigation. We're so afraid of being sued, for lack of a better term. Is that a reason, although not a very good one, in fact a very poor one, that very little is being done? Because this atrocity, it just has to stop.
I feel like this atrocity has to stop. I agree with you there. I feel like I, as a citizen, have the right to say, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I do everything in my power to be a law-abiding citizen. I teach my children to be law-abiding citizens. And on the other hand, here is a cult and a community teaching their children. They don't have to be a law-abiding citizen. They don't have to contribute to America. They don't have to do anything. That the bleeding the beast is what they're supposed to do. They don't. They teach them and disrespect for the law. Disrespect for a woman, disrespect for the rights that the laws have, that we have out there to protect women and children. And it's blatantly taught that these are the men's rights because they are members and they have the priesthood in this cult. And when you have that much just on the law book, just if they even look just at the laws, they're running children back and forth across the borders, marrying them to different people to get new blood in. These are children. These are not full adults with an education making a choice. They're children. And I don't know when slavery, I thought it went out, but not in these cults.
Absolutely.
They're trading back and forth, and these are underage children.
Crossing state lines, different countries.
Different countries and state lines, and I haven't found a law yet that says that's okay.
No, exactly. And again, polygamy is illegal. It's just.
And again, polygamy is illegal.
Yep.
And I hear the cry, you know, that you referred to, these young girls decided to have a baby. Well,
yeah. You
guys, there's child abuse out in the, you know, in the countries, you know, all over the world. There's incest all over the world. There's young teenagers getting in trouble and getting pregnant. It comes down to, again, if a teenager, hopefully it's with her young boyfriend. It's not some grisly old, ugh. You know?
Right. No, exactly.
And it's not somebody that is going to neglect her and let her sit and no matter what he decrees, no matter what her emotional level is, no matter what her strengths are, she's put in, has to fit into this mold. There's no spot, and that same mold is stamped right on there. The children wearing long clothes and long this and long that. That doesn't make a saint.
No, exactly. It's an image, and
yes.
They say that image is in the eye of the beholder, but just because you look at someone and they look quaint and they look peaceful, you don't know the terror that's going on inside their lives.
And again,
I go back to this commentator comparing the young girls wanting to get pregnant to these young girls who are raped in a polygamous compound. There is no comparison. But what needs to be done is the Department of Family Services, law enforcement, FBI, whoever, needs to go in and do their jobs and protect these people because this shouldn't be happening. Just before I let you go, Brenda, and I really appreciate the time that you're giving my audience this evening, I know the organization, Hope Organization, tries to help those that are victims that are trying to get out or have gotten out and don't know where to turn. If you had a message, and we've got maybe 2 minutes here, to pass on, being someone who has lived through, well, you've gone to hell and back through this, what would that message be?
Just like our name says, there is hope. It's not free. Got to work, just like everybody else. It's out there, though. And I stand up and say, this is a wonderful world we live in. Out here, I have met people that have been nothing but a joy to be around. I've had free agency. I've traveled. I am going back, and I worked with Hope, in the dear hope that I can offer that to another woman and another child, that lift your head up, open your heart, open your eyes, and open your mind. We live in this world, and it's well worth it. And Hope is willing to help you if you need it.
And it's organizations like yours and others who are trying to help is what will make the difference. How about the media? What can the media do different?
Stay on this. Don't drop the ball. Keep asking. Keep asking. They're breaking the law. They're teaching their children to break the law. That is not a religion. When your religion supersedes what this country has fought for, what did we fight for? Choice.
Right.
Freedom. The great war in heaven. What was the war in heaven about? What the Lucifer said, I will make them come back. Jesus said, I will give them the choice, and I will show them the way.
Absolutely. Well said. Brenda, thank you.
You are so welcome, and thank you for doing the things you're doing.
I appreciate the time, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Take care.
I'll look forward to it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Brenda. I'm not going to identify her by her last name. She was born in Canada and then taken to Colorado City, where she spent 5 years. She's a director of the Hope Organization. We're going to take a break and be back here in just a few minutes with Flora Jessup. She's the executive director of the Child Protection Project. She, too, is a victim of a polygamist, and she has a dramatic story to tell. Don't forget, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. There you can hear all the shows live, pick up podcasts of past programs, and listen to my daily commentary. My name's Dana Pretzer, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, here's your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back. I apologize for that. Again, my Dell computer isn't as reliable as it should be, but we are back here on the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Flora Jessup is the executive director of Child Protection Project. She's also a victim of a polygamist and has a dramatic story to tell. The Child Protection Project has a link on our show notes this evening. Hi, Flora.
Hello, how?
What we're doing here on the program, we started last week and we're continuing on this week, is doing what the mainstream media hasn't been doing, in my opinion. We saw a little bit about Warren Jeffs and, you know, America's Most Wanted, and organizations like that do a great job when it comes to covering those types of fugitives. But the mainstream media, when it came to polygamy, did very little. Now with the election going on, we're seeing nothing. We still have a huge, what I consider to be an epidemic. And I'm trying to do what I can here on my satellite radio show and internet radio show to educate the public by bringing on guests like yourselves. Tell us about the Child Protection Project.
The Child Protection Project is an advocacy group that advocates for victims of polygamy and child abuse through the courts, helping get services, counseling services, transitional housing, safe houses, all manner of services for the victims of polygamy. One of the things that is so profound about the victims of polygamy is when they try to leave the polygamous lifestyle, they are usually hunted, especially if it's a mother and children. And so safe houses and security risks become a big part of what the Child Protection Project has been involved with the families that we've been involved in helping.
I think it's very aware and is very open to those that are in the know and those who are educated somewhat when it comes to polygamy, that polygamy is illegal. It's plain and simple. And there's the question as far as law enforcement, government, family services, or whatever you want to call them, doing their jobs and enforcing it and getting support from the courts and the legislation and all that sort of stuff. But what we need to do is we need to talk to the victims and educate the public. My guest previous to you, Brenda, is all I identified her as, spent several years in a polygamist family upbringing in Colorado City. And when I brought up the term to her, and I said, this is just like David Koresh in Waco, she said, oh, no, 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 this is worse. And this is worse than Waco. This is something that you, your worst horror, your worst nightmare that you've ever thought of living. Your thoughts on that?
Brenda, right. It is, for the people who are trying to escape this cult, it is a death trap, to the point that we've had women lose everything. They if they catch you and take you back inside the cult, you never see your children again. They believe and preach and practice the blood atonement doctrine, which is the doctrine that if you turn against the group, you should have your throat slit. And they hunt these women with that purpose. They take the children, and the children are taught to that they are not to have any love for anyone, including their parents, over the prophet. They have the children report the sins of their own parents to the prophet, at which time he punishes the families, oftentimes kicking the fathers out and reassigning the mothers to other husbands. And these guys are very dangerous. So far with the FLDS, there has not been outward violence. But it has been proven time and time again with the polygamous culture, the violence that is just waiting to happen. We had the LeBaron killing 20 plus years ago, where they killed 20 families who wanted to leave the group. The Ruby Ridge standoff, the Waco standoff. There's just numerous examples of the violence perpetrated by these guys on families.
Your website describes the Latter-day Church of Christ, also known as Kingston, as an abusive religious cult practicing incest as a religious rite, and I think that's quite accurate. This is 2008, for heaven's sake. This is something that shouldn't be happening, and I want to get into a little bit about what governments should be doing, what we the people could be doing, and how your organization is helping.
Yes, the Kingston Group is one of the most incestuous of the polygamous groups. There's a doctrine called the pure seed doctrine, where they believe that the only ones pure enough for their seed, because they are gods, is their own children. And we have numerous situations throughout Utah and Arizona where that doctrine is being practiced now. Interestingly enough, on the incest situation, Warren Jeffs is up on charges in Arizona right now, and they just dropped 4 incest charges against him because one of the parties in the case was a minor child. And the way the law is written in Arizona is that you cannot charge someone with incest unless they're both adults. You cannot charge someone if one of the parties involved is a child. And so they were able to get those charges dropped. And next year, we will be advocating with the legislature in Arizona to revamp that law and change it so that we can protect children from incest in Arizona. And that's one of the things that we need to do across this country is look at the laws of child protection in every state. What is the marriage age? What do the incest and abuse laws consist of, and how are they represented and used to protect children in this country? And we need to step up and advocate our legislators to change those things for better protection laws.
You know, without trying to sound like a 15-year-old here, when I see a picture of Warren Jeffs or his dad, the Rulon, or however you say that, the prophet, and that's a term that is only for people who deserve it, and anyone with that last name, Jeffs, and anyone in this polygamy situation do not deserve the term prophet. But seeing him, the old man, 90 years old with the two young brides, it's a famous picture. You've seen it thousands of times, I'm sure. It just creeps me out, you know. And I don't want to talk like a 15-year-old, but this is just freaking believable that this stuff is even happening today. Let's talk about your situation. You got in, you got out, you went for help, and they sent you back, kind of like in Texas.
Yes. Actually, I didn't get in. I was born into this, and most of the FLDS members are born in. They do not allow outsiders to come in because they are always worried that it's the government trying to infiltrate the group. And aside from that, because of their racist doctrines, they cannot be assured that you don't carry blood of mixed races if you marry into the group. So everybody that's in the FLDS is born into it, and as a result, you're raised as a calf in a stall. You know nothing but what that stall shows you. And my sexual abuse from my father started when I was 8 years old. I attempted to get help from the other adults in the community, was punished horribly for years, because I spoke out against God's commandments. And when my case finally went to the courts in Utah, and the Department of Child and Family Services sent me back to the FLDS and placed me in my uncle's custody, where I spent 3 years in solitary confinement with them trying to beat Satan out of me. At 16, I was married to my first cousin, stayed with him for 3 weeks, and then ran, and have been out ever since. That was in 1986, and in 2001, my 14-year-old baby sister was forced to marry her stepbrother. On her wedding night, she was so brutally raped that she hemorrhaged out and almost died from it because of the brutality that was done to her. And when I spoke to my mother about why she would allow that to happen, her answer to me was, "He owns Ruby, and there is nothing I can do. She must submit to him." And that was, my sister tried to run away from that marriage and was caught. While she was on the run, I spoke with her on the phone, and she begged me, "Please don't let him take me back." I gave her my word that I would try and do everything I could to keep her safe. And before I could get to her, they did. And I have been, since 2001, fighting for my sister and everyone else that wants out.
You know, not only is there physical torture, but there's mental torture, incest.
Emotional,
yeah.
Psychological. Oh, it's horrifying.
Incest, rape, criminal acts, you name it, birth defects. It's just, it's beyond words. And how can we, Flora, in a society today, 2008, with the presidential campaigns and all the big shot politicians walking around saying that they want to do so much for us, how can they allow something like this to happen?
Well, you know, there's a new, well, I guess it's not new, there's this whole ideology that our Constitution allows under the guise of religious freedom, the practice of anything that they claim to be their religious right. And they are using that card. And until this country stands up and the people in this country stand up and say, you know what, religious freedom does not involve the rape of children and crimes being committed against women and children, they're going to continue to practice it. And they believe that they live a higher law, they live God's law, and man's law does not apply to them.
There's a well-known television commentator, I mentioned this to my last guest, who compared the, I'm sure you've seen it, the report of these teenage girls in Gloucester, Massachusetts, who went out and had a pact, whether it's true or not, but when it was being reported that it was true, that they had a pact to go out and get pregnant and raise their children together, to the young girls who were seized in the Texas compound, and how you can even compare the two, statutory rape of these girls in a religious cult to some dumb kids who haven't been raised properly going out to do this is mind-boggling. And you have to wonder, when the mainstream media, high-profile mainstream media, are reporting that, what do we do to make sure that they get it right? Because people watch and listen.
Yes, and, you know, that was one of the things that I realized when I started fighting for my sister and the importance of the media and protecting children. And I realized how ignorant and the media was about abuse and things like that. And so there was a conscious campaign began in 2001 to do major education of the media, and it's been very difficult.
It is, because you know, the media, in particular the cable news organizations, they cherry pick stories. They want people to be interested, but how people cannot be interested in this once they know the truth. I just recently watched the documentary Banking on Heaven, and I thought I was fairly well versed in polygamy and, you know, following cases like Warren Jeffs, and from researching websites like yours, watching that documentary and others, I see that I'm hardly educated at all, that there's a much bigger picture. What more can the media do?
You know, there's been so much, you know, with this being a closed society, the polygamous society being so closed to the media. One of the things that has been very noticeable to me is their efforts to get inside and do the polygamy story, go into the polygamous families, without realizing that what they're going to show you is such a whitewash of abuse that it's not going to get into the depth of the horrifying abuses that are occurring. And that's one of the things, the disservice that is done in giving the abusers a platform to further abuse the victims that have come out and found the courage to stand up and try and protect their family members. But in that, and I think that the media tends to go for the sensationalized story.
Yeah.
And you know, that's understandable, but at the same time, dealing with issues on a human rights level that's what we need to push our media outlets to do, is to start doing human interest stories rather than try and get everybody's side on, you know, let a court of law get everybody's side.
Yep.
But the media needs to stop playing into the perpetrator hands of creating perpetrators as victims in a lot of situations.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem that I see a lot of times, is that the perpetrators, because they have They are used to being on the outside and speaking out and demanding their rights, and the victims have had no voice, and it's harder for the victims to come forward and tell what they've been through than it ever will be for the perpetrators. And as a result, the victims really need to have that voice that the media can give them.
Yes, well said. The organization is the Child Protection Project. Flora Jessup is one of the executive directors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it. That's another show for another week. And we will continue to follow up on polygamy stories every so often because, again, I think the mainstream media is doing a lousy job when it comes to covering it and getting the truth out there. My name is Dana Pritzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I thank you. I apologize for our technical problem tonight, but with the podcast, you won't even know it was there. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Been listening to the Dana Pritzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.